Okay, let's continue the Gemara Daf Lamed Hey Omid Base. We're going to try and make our way to the two dots, Lamed Vav Omid Aleph. And then we'll go back a little bit and we'll see there are a number of Nekudes that we need to look at that are on the sheets. Maram Makom is number 1 to 7. In fact, I've missed out number 6 on the sheets. It's a mistake. The last one should be number 6. Huh? Not like it used to be. Okay, so we were learning. Let's have a look at the Gemara, the fourth wide line. Let's go back. Gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel v'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yechon. Shemen zayis mevarchin olav boirei pri ha'etz. Olive oil. One makes a bracha. The bracha on it is boirei pri ha'etz. And of course, we brought this in because we were trying to work out why yayin as a special bracha, so by, the Gemara brought in Shem and Zayis, and now that's why we're looking at it again. Says the Gemara, what exactly is the case? If you understand it simply that he just drank oil, he literally took a cup of oil and drank it, oizuki mazik lei. What does that mean, oizuki mazik lei? So let's have a look at Rashi again, because we'll see, if not today, the next time, that the Rambam seems to learn differently. But Rashi says, oizuki mazik lei legufe. He's damaging his body, and therefore, ve'in zu achila. It's not considered achila at all, she'tu'una brocha. De'gaba brocha ve'ochal tuksiv. So Rashi said three nekudos over here. Point number one, it's damaging what? To his goof. Point number two, it's therefore not considered an achila. And with regard to brocha, says Rashi in point number three, you have to have an achila, because it says v'ochalto. So if this is not an achila, because it's damaging, then there can be no brocha. So how can you say that you make a brocha? Borei pri ha'etz on shemen, but it's not considered achila, at least if you eat it, just plain, a cup of oil, can't be. How do I know it's not considered an achila, and it's considered damaging? Says the Braisa, the Tanya. Hashoise shemen shel truma. If somebody drinks shemen shel truma, he's a non-kayen, and he's not allowed to eat shemen shel truma. So normally the halacha is that if a non-kayen eats truma, as we mentioned last time, he pays a keren, because he's a ganav, but he also has to pay an additional fifth, the chaymash. This is all talking in a case where he ate it b'shoigig, as Rashi adds, ashoise shemen shel truma b'shoigig. However, the Braisa says quite clearly that what? That if he eats shemen shel truma, he pays the keren, but he does not pay the chaymash. Why does he pay the keren and does not pay the chaymash? So the keren he pays because at the end of the day, he stole. But he wouldn't pay the chaymash. Why would he not pay the chaymash?
It's not food.
Because not food, or at least he hasn't eaten it. He hasn't eaten it. Because that's not considered an achila. Says Rashi. To Tanya, we have a braisa that says, Delav bar achila hu. That it's not considered bar achila. Hashoyse shemen shel truma b'shoigig, meshalei misakeren keshar mazik es chaviroi b'mamoinoi, says Rashi. Just like anybody would damage their friend with their money, forget the fact that it's truma. Truma is obviously no worse because it's truma. If I take anything from you, even if it's not edible, and I eat it, if I eat your chair, am I have to pay back for your chair? Of course. What are you going to tell me? It's not bar achila. Who cares? He's got my chair. So when I take somebody's truma, before I relate to the fact that it's truma, I first have to remember that one second. At the end of the day, I have taken somebody else's property away. So the first thing is replace it. Now, that's the keren. With regard to the chaymesh, v'hein mashalim chaymesh. That is a specific truma halacha. And yet, the gaba achila, Rabbi Chaimesh says Rashi, achila, quote unquote, siv. The word achila is written in the Torah. Why? Because it says, v'ish ki yoichal kodesh b'shkaga. Quite really says, when a person eats kodesh, what kodesh? In other words, truma bishkog, and it clearly says the word achila. Prat lemazik, which comes to exclude a mazik. In other words, it doesn't say in the Torah somebody who damages somebody's truma, rather it says somebody who eats. If it says eats, then it's got to constitute an achila. If you eat something which is harmful to you, that's not considered an achila. Therefore, if the Brisa says, if you eat somebody's shemen shel truma, you chayv to pay the keren, but you're not chayv to pay the chaymesh, what does that clearly show us? That it's not considered an achila at all. And if it's not considered an achila, then you wouldn't be mechayv to make a bracha at all, as Rashi says, because you didn't eat anything. Which, by the way, we have to remember this very, very important principle, which is emerging from Rashi, that if you eat something which is damaging to you, you do not make a bracha. Why not? Because it's not considered achila. Very, very important you say it. Okay, let's continue. The Braisa says, however, hasoch shemen shel truma. If you didn't eat it, but rather you smeared it, then what? Meshalem es hakeren u'meshalem es hachoymesh. Then you would pay both the keren and the chaymesh. What's the difference? Because over here, you are, as it were, eating it. Why are you eating? You're not eating it, you're smearing it. As we said last time, no, because sicha is kishtia. Smearing is like drinking. Therefore, when you smear the shemen, it is as if you are drinking it. And in this particular way, it's not damaging at all. To the contrary, it's very beneficial and enjoyable. Therefore, that is considered normal usage of the shemen. And therefore you'd pay not only the keren, but the chaymesh as well. Okay, but either way, it's not so much the second point, it's more the first point that was of importance to us, which was what?
It's damaging, it's not
a... But you see, it can quite clearly, it's damaging, and if you eat it, you're not mechuyev to pay the chaymesh. It doesn't constitute an eating at all. Therefore we can't really understand, how can you say that if you drink oil, you chayev to make a brocha, you didn't eat it at all. It's not considered eating. So I think that's where we left off last time. So let's continue. Elo, third bottom line. Says the Gemara, Elo, rather we're going to have to say that what? We're not talking about a regular case. You just filled a cup of oil and drank it. But rather, Elo, the ka'ochilei al-yidei pas. Rather, he ate it with bread. Says Rashi, two words, very important words. Alidei hapas, mishum, lifton. What's lifton? No, that's pas. What's lifton? Lifton means like as a spice. As a delicacy.
A condiment.
A condiment. In other words, he's not really interested in eating oil. He's really interested in eating bread.
Flavor.
Bread maybe is not so tasty, so he adds the shemen to be the liftum, to be the flavoring and taste for the bread.
The smearing, the right before the Gemara said it's smearing. So what is it smearing on?
On his skin, on his goof. He lathers himself in shemen shel truma. He's not eating it at all. Here he's eating it. But not be'en. What does be'en mean? Be'en means plain. He's not eating it by itself, but rather with bread. So here, Moirav Raboisai, we're getting to a very, very important principle. And this is one of the most important principles that we're going to come across in this entire perek, which is Iker and Tofel. Says the Gemara, I can't understand. Ihochi, if so. What does that mean, if so? If what? If you're telling me that that's the case.
Putting it on bread.
That we're dealing with a case where he didn't actually eat the shemen plain, but rather he ate the shemen together with bread. Then have you lay pas ikar? Then the bread surely will be considered the ikar. The who? What's who?
The oil.
It's tofel. V'tanano, we have a Mishnah which we're going to be learning a lot in Mitzvah Hashem in the future, where it says ze haklal kol shehu ikar. Whenever you have an ikar, ve'imoy tfeila, and with it a tofel, mevarech al ha'ikar upoiter es ha'tfeilo. You make a bracha on the ikar, and that exempts the tefillah as well. Which would mean, in our particular case, if you're eating the shemen, but not by itself, rather with pas, you wouldn't be making a bracha at all on the shemen. Why? Because as Rashi told us, what is the function of the shemen? It's liftum. It's liftum. Therefore, the bracha on the pas would automatically include and exempt the bracha on the shemen as well. So if we're back to square one, we still don't understand what is this case you're making a bracha on the shemen. Again, if you eat the shemen by itself, well, it's damaging, it's not considered an achila. And if you eat it with a bread, then it's not damaging, but it's a tefillah, you wouldn't make a bracha at all. So what's the case? When do you actually make borei pri or eats on shemen? Says the Gemara, Elo, third suggestion, although we'll see it's very similar to the second suggestion. The Koshosi Le Al Yidei Anigroin. He drinks it together with Anigroin. What's Anigroin? Zok Rashi. Al Yidei Anigroin. Second last Rashi, or third last Rashi. Min Michael Hu. It's a type of food. The nice name Lasoichai Shemen, and you put Shemen in it. For Shanu B'Mishnah, it's mentioned in the Mishnayos, B'Kama M'Koymos, in many places. Therefore, even though it might look a strange looking word, which it does, never come across it before, it says Rashi, you'll see it's mentioned in a number of places in the Mishnayos. So it's a certain type of food, and if you want to know more details of the food, the Gemara now fills in a bit of the details. Not really our subject, but once we mentioned it, it gets mentioned as well. The Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Anigroin, Maya, the Silka, and Sigroin, Maya, the Kulushalki. What does that mean? Says Rashi. The Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Loi, Osa, Hacha. What does it mean, Loi, Osa, Hacha? What does the word osa mean? We've had it many times. Comes. Loi osa hacha means it doesn't really come here. It's not really our subject. We're not learning now all about anigroin. Elo rather lefi rusheilon. It is just to explain to us my nihu what it is. So we're not really studying at the moment the halachas of anigroin. It's just because it was brought in the Gemara, so the Gemara now veers off, at least just to explain to us what exactly is anigroin. Okay, so what indeed is it? Maya de silka. Mayim, it is water. Sheshalku bohem, that you cooked in them. Taradin, some type of vegetable. So basically like a type of soup. I'm not sure. Could be. And sigroin, says Rashi, is Maya de Kulushalki. Says Rashi, kol mine yerek shaluk, any vegetable which was cooked. So either it is silka, which is what we have on Rosh Hashanah night, the Gemara says, or any vegetable. So either way, it's not that important to us at this stage of the game. So what is anigroin? Anigroin is the water in which you cook either the silka vegetable, or as the Gemara said, actually maybe any vegetable, and you drink the water, and for a bit of flavoring, you add
oil.
The shemen. Okay, but we're back to square one. Why are we back to square one?
It's
again, it's an ikar and a tefillah im kain. Havalei anigroin ikar v'shemen tefil. Once again, the anigroin is the ikar, and the shemen is the tefil. And we've already said v'tanan ze haklal kol shu ikar v'imoy tefilo mavarich ala ikar poiter es ha'tefilo. So if you didn't like the bread answer, then you're not going to like very much either the anigroin answer, because that's also an ikar and a tefil. Says the Gemara, no. The anigroin case is exactly the answer. Why? Because what are we talking about? Hocha b'maya skinon, this is what we're talking about. B'choshesh b'groinoi. What does that mean, b'choshesh b'groinoi?
minor pain in his throat.
He's got a minor pain in his throat. Chayshish doesn't say he's terrible agony or sakana in any way. Chayshish. Now, we know, as Rashi is going to explain to us, there is on Shabbos an Issa Midrabonon of refuah. Why is there an Issa of refuah on Shabbos? Chazal said, because we're worried, it's a gzeira, mishum shchikas samamonim. In those days, the way that medicine was formulated was used ground down the herbs, which if you actually do that, is an Issa deiraisa of meleches toichin, grinding. So we're worried, as somebody who's unwell, and obviously is extremely concerned for his health, and therefore might do a crazy thing. What might he do? He might come and grind herbs. And therefore we said, don't take any medication on Shabbos. Which, by the way, is a huge discussion, not really our discussion for the moment, we'll just mention the headline, is that nowadays we don't grind herbs. At least, maybe in the stores or in the pharmaceutical companies they do, but we don't. Nobody ever, probably here, has ever taken a medication which he ground down a herb. He went to the pharmacist and he bought some tablets. Therefore, l'chayra, this whole gzeira shouldn't apply to us anymore. So it's a question. But the bottom line is, it does apply. It's unfortunately for Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, that is the halacha of refuah on Shabbos. So now, we have somebody who is choshesh begreino. The person is very sick, he can take medication. But someone who is a choshesh, choshesh means a what? Like you said, concerned, but nothing dangerous or extremely painful or anything like that. So what is the medication? Look at the top Rashi. Hachoshish begreinai v'tzorich loses boy shemen harbe. And he needs to place a lot of oil in his throat. Why? Because apparently that will soothe his throat. However, it's taken together with a nigroin, in which case the havale shemen ikka the anigroin tofel, because the shemen is harbe. Therefore, what is the main part over here?
Shemen.
The main part is the shemen. The anigroin is just taken, I guess, to make the shemen more palatable. It's like, for example, when you take a tablet with water. The main part over here is the tablets. The waters just help you to swallow it. So here as well. I'm not interested at the moment in having an anigroin party. I need to have shemen to smooth my throat. I have a lot of it. In order to down it, or to make it more palatable, I mix it with the anigroin. In which case, what is the ikka and what's the tofel?
The
shemen is the ikka. And if the shemen is the ikka, so on the one hand, I don't have the ikka and tofel issue. Presumably, I don't have the other issue of being damaging. To the contrary, it's not damaging. It's very helpful. It's actually helping me. And therefore, it's considered achila. In which case, I would make a bracha.
At this point, we dismiss that it's unhealthy to have a bracha of oil.
No, that remains true. Under ordinary circumstances, it's unhealthy. But if a person has a throat ache, apparently it's recommended procedure.
So unhealthy, it doesn't...
No, you're not going to drink it. You're going to gargle it, and maybe you'll swallow a little bit of it.
Right.
But you're
we'll
not going to drink
second.
It.
You're not drinking a whole cupful. We'll see in a moment. Although it's a lot, we'll see exactly what you do with it. Says the Gemara, D'Tanya. Because the Braisa says, now this is actually, of course, in Hilchos Shabbos, although we will be coming back to this Be'ezer Hashem in two daf's time. In Daf Lamed Ches. So I don't want to launch into the subject big time at the moment, but in Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, we'll be revisiting it, and Be'ezer Hashem will learn together then a very, very big subject which we've discussed in the past, and that is brachas or non brachas when you take medication. Very, very commonly asked, Shaila. And of course, there's different types of medication. There's medication which you swallow, there's medication which you don't swallow, there's medication which you enjoy, medication which is liquid, food, etc., etc., etc. So let's just at least learn the Gemara as it appears in our sugya. Says the Gemara, the Tanya we've learned in a Braisa, Hachoyshesh Bigroinoi. If somebody is concerned with his throat, then what does he do? Loy Ye'arenu B'shemen tchilo v'shabbos, avol noisein shemen harbe letoich anigroin uboileya. And we have to take this slowly because we're going to see there's a big machloikus, Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn this Gemara. So let's go slowly again. What does it say in the Brayso? Hachoshesh v'groina. Somebody's concerned about his throat. Lo ya'arenu v'shabbos. V'shemen. Says Rashi. Lo ya'arenu v'shemen. V'shabbos. The mashilei. What does mashilei mean? Literal translation of mashi means he delays. Means it sits in his mouth for a while. He's gargling the shemen. So the mashile means he delays or he waits whilst the shemen is in his mouth. He doesn't actually swallow it at all. He just gargles it. So it's sitting in his mouth and he gargles it. That apparently is the refuah. Now, the kivim deloy bolalei. Says Rashi, because he doesn't swallow it, muchacha milsa, the matter is apparent, de la refuah, it's refuah. If I take a cup and I drink it, what do I think you're doing? Oh, you're having a drink. If I sit there gargling shemen, then obviously it's apparent that you're doing it for refuah reasons. And Chazal were only goyza on refuah if it's apparent. The Chachomim Gozru Al Kol Refuois Hanikorai, says Rashi, very important word. What does Hanikorai mean? If it's visible, recognizable. So if you're gargling Shemen, so it is recognizable, and they made Gzeira. Why did they make Gzeira? Mishum Shrikas Samonim. Because of grinding of herbs, Shehi Malacha, which is a Malacha. Now, by the way, we need to ask an important question over here. It's not so much our subject, but it's important to point out. If you take medication on Shabbos, you might come to grind it, which is Nisa Deraisa. So I have a question. How are you allowed to eat on Shabbos anything? Maybe you'll come to cook it on Shabbos. How are you allowed to sit on a chair on Shabbos? Maybe you'll come to build it. How are you allowed to wear your suit? Maybe you'll come to sew it. But why do they make a gzeira? But you might come and grind it. I mean, anything you use on Shabbos, you might make on Shabbos. They didn't make such a gzeira. Why? Well, what's the difference?
That was the way of medicine. You had to grind.
That's the way you eat. You cook food. That's the way you make a chair. You build it. That's the way you have a suit. You sew it. There's no other way to have a suit. So why are you allowed to wear a suit on Shabbos? Maybe come and sew it.
Because I have the finished product already.
Who does?
I have the suit. I'm not going to sew
the medication suit as well. That's why he has it all made. We're worried that if you allow him to do it, then next time we'll come and grind it. We're not saying don't grind it. We'll say don't have it even when it's already ground, because you might come to grind it. And also don't eat food when it's already cooked. You might come and cook it. And don't sit on your chair when it's already built, because you might come to build. I mean, ain't la dava safe. One word answer. Bohul. Bohul. Beis, hey, vav, lamed. Bohul means the person becomes frantic. When it comes to one's health, that's what I was hinting to before when I said a person can come and do a silly thing. Sitting on a chair, if the worst comes to worst, it doesn't have a chair, so he'll stand. Worst comes to worst, you don't have food, the question is you're not going to eat neighbor's food, you'll find food, or you won't eat. If a person's ill, a person is very, very concerned with his health. The Gemara talks about a person is very concerned with his money. And Rishonim say, so too a person is concerned with his health, and that's why we're worried he'll do a silly thing. So if a person eats food, we're not concerned he'll come and cook food. If a person sits on a chair, we're not concerned he'll build a chair on Shabbos. Because he's not so frantic about sitting, but he is frantic about his health. So if you don't let him, if you allow him to take medication, he might actually come and do a silly thing, and therefore we've got to put up a barrier. Sorry, don't even go near medication. Okay. So either way, we're saying, although Chazal were geizer not to take refuah on Shabbos, but the gezeir was only said in what type of case? If it is a case where it's concern, not serious illness, and it has to be nikkur. What does nikkur mean? It has to be clearly recognizable you're doing it for refuah purposes. Okay. Says Rashi. Again, it said in the Brayse, Lo Yarenu B'Shemen Tchilo. What does Tchilo mean? Kloima Lecha Tchilo Lo Yitein HaShemen B'Piv. Don't put the oil in your mouth, L'Shem Irur, for purposes of gargling. Rather, Ki'im L'Shem Bli, only for the purpose of swallowing it. And then, then once it's in his mouth with intent to swallow, if you then want to let it sit there a bit, yishehenu, you can. In other words, it seems to be, I don't actually fully understand the Metzius, but it seems to be that it's not so much the gargling which is nikkur, rather it's the way you put it in your mouth in the first place. If I put it into my mouth for the purpose of gargling, then it's nikkur, then it's for refuah. If I put it in my mouth for the purpose of blia, for the purpose of swallowing it, then even if eventually I do gargle, it's not nikkur. I would have said, what do you mean? It's the same gargling. But apparently it all depends on how I put it in my mouth, and there's a different manner of putting it in my mouth. So in one case it's nikkur, one case it's not. So that's what the braisa means. Lo ya'arenu b'shemen tchilo. Don't put it in your mouth, tchilo, right from the beginning, for the purpose of gargling. Rather, what should you do? Look back into the Gemara. Avol noisein shemen harber. Rather, you put a lot of oil. Letoich anigroin, in the anigroin. Uboilea, and you swallow it. Now there is a very big problem with Rashi, the way Rashi learns, and Tosis will discuss this. Again, what's the no and what's the yes? What can you not do and what are you allowed to do? You cannot take shemen plain. You cannot take the shemen plain and gargle it. Why? Because then it's nikkur for refuah. Okay, so what can you do? That's the osa case. What's the muta case?
Put oil in together with the anigra and then swallow.
Take it by anigra.
So how many stages did I need to do to make it muta?
First you put the oil in the anigra.
One second. Didn't we just say the whole problem is because you're gargling it? But if you swallow it, it's not a problem. So what's the anigrain business?
What's the what?
Why do you have to put it with anigrain? Why can't the braisa just say, if you gargle it, it's asa, and if you swallow it, it's muta? Why do I have to do two stages? I have to mix it with anigrain and also swallow it?
If you don't put it with anigrain, it's a sakana.
A sakana. Yeah. Mazik, we're not learning hilchas sakana, we're learning hilchas of refuah on Shabbos. We're concerned with hilchas Shabbos. Don't do an act which is nikkur, that is to say with refuah. Gargling is nikkur. Swallowing is not nikkur. So the Brayse simply should have said, don't gargle, rather swallow.
It's going to be recognizable that if you put straight oil into your mouth, it is for purposes.
No, but Rashi says, if I do it l'shem blia, if I do it for the purpose of swallowing, then it's not nikkur, even if it's not mixed with anigra.
And you're back to case one. Then we shouldn't make bracha at all.
Could be, but I'm asking hilchas brachas. I'm asking hilchas Shabbos. This braisa is a braisa, nothing to do with brachas. We're using it to understand brachas, but we're first now dealing with hilchas Shabbos. So Shabbos does not allow you to gargle because it's nikkur. So what do you do? Swallow it. So why do you have to mix it with anigra? So you might tell me, no, because when you mix it with anigroin, then it's no longer recognizable that it's for refuah, because I see that what are you putting in your mouth? Anigroin. I don't even see the shemen. Fine. Well, then you don't need to swallow it. Monoshach. I don't need two things. Either one should be okay.
As soon as you take a cup of oil, put it to your mouth to swallow, everyone's going to recognize
that's
that.
That's mutter.
That is for refuah purposes.
Rashi says it's only nikka if I do it for gargling purposes. If I do it for swallowing purposes, I think you're hungry.
But no one does that.
Good shaila. It's a good shaila. Fair question. But Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says,
we just
lo yitein Hashem em bepiv l'shem iru, Rashi says. Look at again the Rashi tchilo. Look at the Rashi tchilo. Lecha tchila lo yitein Hashem em bepiv L'shem Irur. Don't put it in your mouth for purposes of gargling, ki'im l'shem bliya, but rather for the purposes of bliya. So you're right. You could, in theory, ask, what's the difference? However you put shem in your mouth, it looks bizarre. Because you don't normally drink oil, so it must be for a fool. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, no, if you put it in for gargling purposes, that looks suspicious. People will say you're clearly doing it for a fool. But if I put it in for bliya, for swallowing, it doesn't look suspicious. I'll say the guy's very thirsty. So in order to make it mutter, you have to now put it in your mouth in a manner where it's not recognizable. So l'chayra, I need to either swallow it or mix it with anigrin. But why do I need both? So because of this question, Tosas disagrees with Rashi. And we'll see in a moment, he learns a completely different pshat. Although, at the end, he simply says, do you know how we could answer up Rashi? You have to mix it with anigroin or swallow it. Not and, rather, or. When it says uboileya, it means oi boileya. So in fact, the Mishnah, the Braisa, is giving you two options. You cannot take it plain and gargle, but if I take it not plain, rather mixed with anigroin, or I do take it plain, but I swallow it, in either way it does not look anymore like I'm taking it for refuah, and then it'll be mutter. But it's not both, rather it's either or. Now, I want to point out a very, very important point. Look at the top Rashi, HaChoshesh B'Groino. Rashi says, top line, V'tzorich loses boy shemen harbe. You've got to put in a lot of oil. She says, the shemen is the ikar, the anigroin is tofel. Now I want to point out something which is very, very, very important, extremely important, and we are Be'ez Hashem going to have to remember this now throughout the whole perek. It's not our subject, but I want to mention it now because it hits you in the face when you see this Gemara. The Gemara says, I don't understand, what is the case that you're making a brocha on oil? Can't mean you drink it plain because that's damaging. So it has to be that you're drinking it with something else. So what was suggestion number one? Bread. Gemara says, sorry, ikavatofel. Suggestion number two, anigroin. Sorry, ikavatofel. Now, l'chayra, there's a very basic question to be asked in this Gemara, which when I learned the Gemara, immediately bothered me. We've already established that Iker and Tofel, you don't make a bracha on Tofel. So what's the point of coming up with a new suggestion of anigroin when you have exactly the same kashan? Anigroin's also Iker and Tofel.
You've changed its purpose. Purpose from food to refuah.
Therefore what? What would you have thought?
Therefore, if the purpose is refuah, then the Iker is that ingredient which constitutes the refuah.
No. You're jumping the stage. You're getting to the Gemara's answer. I'm still at the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer is that we're talking about refuah. But the Gemara didn't know that in the beginning. Before we introduced refuah, that's the Gemara's answer, you're right. But what was the Gemara's initial question? What was the Gemara initially tried to suggest?
It's important.
that you mix it with anigra. Why? Doesn't say why. You're right, the Gemara's answer is refuah. But before we arrived at refuah, what did we think? That why is he mixing with the anigra? He wants to eat anigra and add a bit of shemen. That's what the Gemara say. Ikar and tofel. Now you're right, the Gemara's answer is no, it's refuah, so really the shemen is the ikar. But I'm asking, before we got to refuah, this bothered me very much. Why are you bringing me the anigroin example when the ikar and tofel issue is so obviously a question once again? You're not with me, Ramon.
I am, I hear what they're saying, but when the Gemara gave that answer, it knew it for us. So maybe the person the Gemara was talking to,
so if we knew it, then it should have obviously understood we're talking about refuah. Otherwise, we're just back to the same question.
So why the Gemara have to ask a different question all the time? They give answer, and then someone says, oh.
"Could be."
What is the normal way that one makes a negro
with shemen?
A little bit of shemen.
So that's my question. If that's the normal way, so it's obvious that we're going to have the same old ikar and tofel issue. So what was Mara's suggestion?
Mara's suggestion is that there's a different recipe.
That's the Mara's terrace. Again, you're up to the terrace, you're jumping the stage. I'm not up to there yet. The Gemara asked, what are you making a bracha on shemen? Says the Gemara, with bread. No, ikar and tofel. Says the Gemara, oh, I've got it, a nigrain. Why is that any better? Again, ikar and tofel question. So you're right, eventually the Gemara said, I've got an answer called refuah, but I'm asking before then. Didn't the Gemara not realize we're going to bump into ikar and tofel issues when it suggested anigrain in the first place? We've already established the ikar and tofel principle, just in the line before. The answer is, Meira v'Raboisa, and this is why it's so important. And we're going to remember this, Be'ez Hashem, throughout the whole parak. There are at least two different type of ikar and tofels. It's a different ikar and tofel. That's why the Gemara asked it once again. The Gemara did not realize that we're running into ikar and tofel issues. Except the Gemara asked once again, this is ikar and tofel. But there would have been room to suggest that this is not a case of ikar and tofel. So tomorrow, no, it actually is. Why would this be different to the first case of bread? The answer is because there are two reasons why something can be classified as a tofel. Either in quantity or in quality. When I put oil on bread, if I put jam on bread, if I put jam on a cracker, what bracha do I make? Zaynus, why not on the jam?
Tofel.
One second. Who says there's more cracker than jam? Come to my house, look how much chocolate spread the kids put on the bread. So why are you telling me that the cracker is the ikar? There's more jam than cracker. The answer is, because we're talking about the purpose of it. That's why it's tofel, not because of the quantity. Because I'm not having a jam party, I'm having a cracker party. I'm not sure actually when I see my kids, but in theory I'm eating crackers in order to make it palatable, so I make it flavourable, so I add a bit of jam. However much I add doesn't matter.
Right. The other case is the herring crackers, where you want to eat herring.
Maybe that's a good case. Maybe that's a good example. So the jam is serving the cracker. Another classic example is an ice cream and a cone. What bracha do you make here, an ice cream and a cone?
Yeah,
shahako. No, one bracha. One bracha. The cone might well be much bigger than the whole ice cream.
You don't make a second bracha.
Don't make a second bracha, even against the cone. Unless you happen to enjoy the cone. Sometimes the cone.
Sugar cone.
Who doesn't enjoy the cone?
It's a plain cone. The cone is, I don't know, coated in chocolate and then things, that's a different shape. Now there, the cone also, which is a plain, non-very tasty cone, might be much bigger than the ice cream. So why are we considering it a toffle? Because it's serving the purposes of the ice cream. That's why it's toffle. So in quality, not in quantity, in quality, it's considered a toffle, meaning what's more important over here? The ice cream is the important part. The cone is just there to help out. The cracker is the important part. The jam is there to help out. Irrelevant of what's bigger or smaller or more or less, that's irrelevant.
Or which is a more kosher bracha.
All irrelevant, right.
It doesn't matter the bracha, what's more kosher?
Like the cone. The cone is mezonos. The ice cream is just shakel, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what am I interested in eating? The ice cream. Everything else is subservient to the ice cream. However, when I have anigroin and shemen, there, the reason why the shemen is considered toffel is because it's a small amount. Rashi didn't say over here it's lifton.
It's harbe. Someone said harbe. Yeah.
What does lifton mean? As a flavoring. Rashi didn't say that I add shemen to the anigroin for lifton purposes. I add it for whatever reason. The reason why it's toffle is because it's less of it. This is made up of two parts and a smaller part is less important. When it comes to refuah, which is the Gemara's answer, Rashi says there's shemen harbe. Oh, there's harbe. So it's just switched from being a tuffle to the ikar. Which now answers my previous question. The Gemara said, why am I making a bracha on shemen? It's damaging. No, I ate it with bread. So it's more ikar of a tuffle. Says, okay, let me have another go. Anigroin. So I said, I don't understand. Ikar and toffel, I've already explained that to you. No, it's not so poshut. Because we've only explained ikar and toffel with regard to important and unimportant. But who said that ikar and toffel will be true also to small versus big? That's why the Gemara had another go. Maybe anigroin would be a good suggestion. The Gemara says, no, actually, ikar and toffel is an issue here as well. But you didn't make a silly mistake in suggesting it. The reason why you suggested it is not because this is a lifton. It's made up of two parts. Maybe you have to make two brachas. Who cares which one is more important? Which one is more in quantity? Someone says, no, over here we would apply the ikar and toffel as well. Which means we're being taught, that's why I said it's so important to point out, even though ikar and toffel is not really our sugi, but we're going to bump into it many times this parak. We're always going to have to bear in mind which ikar and toffel are we dealing with. Ikar and toffel, i.e. as in the main thing. And not the main thing, or the majority versus the minority. But it really hits you in the face when you see that the Gemara jumped up and down twice with ikar and toffel. It clearly must be that it's two different types of ikar and toffel, otherwise it's bizarre. Bizarre. Imagine I would say to you, can you do me a favor, please? We're looking for a Baal Keira in our shul. Yes, no problem. I'll send you my 10-year-old son. Same, sorry, he's a cotton. Okay, I'll send you my 11-year-old son. He's a cotton. Why are you telling me to send him twice? First time round, maybe didn't realize. But now that I told you there's a principle called cotton, what's the point of suggesting it again when it's the same kasha? Doesn't make any sense. That's exactly what the Gemara did by us. Bread. Oh, we didn't realize the ikar and toffel rule. Okay, I'm going to introduce it to you. Anigroin.
What do you mean?
I just already told you, ikar and toffel, you don't make a bracha on the toffel. The answer must be, this is a different type of ikar and toffel. That's why I didn't realize the ikar and toffel could be applied over here as well. So if I say to you, I'll send you my 10-year-old son, and you say, no, he's a cotton, and I'll say to you, okay, I'll send you my 11-year-old son, maybe I thought that 11 is really considered bar mitzvah. So I'm not making a silly mistake. To which you turn around to me and say, no, cotton. Oh, you mean 11 is also a cotton. Oh, okay. That's what Gemara is saying over here as well. That a nigroin is also ikivatofel. Okay, so how did we make it not ikivatofel? The main part over here is the shemen. Why, says Rashi? Because it's shemen harabeh. Shemen harabeh. A lot of oil. Most of it is shema and the rest is just a nigra, and that's the minority.
They say harbi is supposed to
matter at that point. If it's the ikr, does it have to be the harbi?
Fair point. But that was never the issue. The issue was because of the quantity. So I've switched the quantity. You're asking, but it's also now switched quality.
It doesn't have to be a refuah anymore,
yeah,
if you're going to switch the quantity.
Fair point. We're just giving an example of why a person would do this. Like Moshe Zelig pointed out before, otherwise difficult to say why a fellow would do such a thing. It's damaging. No, in this case, this is why you do it. But then, you add Shem and Harim. Okay. So we finally got the case. When the Braisa says, if you drink Shem and you say, we had four suggestions, only number four worked. Suggestion number one was you drank it plain. Can't be, it's not achim. Suggestion number two was with bread, ikr and tofel is no bracha at all. With a nigroin, ikr and tofel is no bracha at all. Suggestion number four, if there's shemen harbe with a nigroin, so then it's not the tofel, it's jolly well the ikr, you'd make a bracha. Which bracha? Very prehoyts.
Is that a fourth suggestion or a clarification of the third?
Either way. Technically you're right, it's a clarification of the third, but it's four cases altogether. Halacha l'maisa, if you wanted to summarize this sugya, you'd say case number one, plain oil, no bracha. Oil with bread, no bracha. Oil with anigroin, no bracha. A lot of oil with a nigroin, bracha. Which bracha? Brilliant.
Case four.
The Gemara doesn't say harbe. Rashi adds in harbe as explaining why refuah is better. Sorry, in the braisa. Sorry, quite right. I stand corrected. Aval noisin shemen harbe l'teich hanigrin. Right. That's what Rashi is pointing out, that once you put harbe shemen, now the shemen becomes
Iker.
Okay. We'll get to Tosis in a moment. Now, says the Gemara, let's just finish off. Says the Gemara, Pshita. What does Pshita mean?
It's obvious.
Interesting type of question. We spent a day and a half working out what the case is, and then when I finally get there, you tell me it's not obvious. What does the Gemara mean? It is obvious. In all seriousness, I wasn't joking. What does the Gemara mean, Pshita? How can you have 20 lines of the Gemara trying to explain a case, but eventually we got that you say it's Pshita? Well, obviously it's not so posh.
It's obvious that you have to make a bracha or swallow.
Right. The case wasn't poshut, but the din is perfectly straightforward. We had a technical issue, we just couldn't work out the case. When would you make a bracha at all? Either because it's damaging or because it's not the ikka, it's a tofel. But once we got to the case, fine, so I don't have any damaging issues, and I don't have any ikka and tofel issues. Oh, so it's regular food and it's extract from a fruit. You say, vore priori, so what's the chiddush? So not that the case is poshut, the din is poshut. Obviously you make a bracha. No, not so obvious, says the Gemara. Why not? Mahu de tema. You might have thought, kiven de la refua kom chavein, because he is intending for refua loy livrich oleo klal. Maybe he wouldn't make a brach on it at all. Komash malon. Therefore, we're being taught, kiven de isle hano'o mine, because he is benefiting it. What does benefiting mean? What's the enjoyment? The refuah is the enjoyment, or besides for the refuah? Besides for the refuah, Rashi says, therefore, bo'i beruchi, therefore you do have to make a bracha. says Rashi, "Deis lehano omine levad harafua." What does that mean, levad harafua? Not that the hano is the fact that I'm being healed and I'm very excited. Besides for the refuah, yeshloi hanoas achila, he's actually enjoying it. Anigroin with shemen is extremely tasty. No. So everybody should be asking a question over here, one word question. Pshuta. So it's still poshut. Why is it not poshut anymore? At the end of the day, you're having food and you're enjoying it, so why should I make a bracha? But why am I making a bracha at the end of the day over here?
Hanah.
Because Hanah. No, it's Pashut.
You might think that because it's for refuah purposes, that
in other words, I might think that what's very important, the intention. I happen to be enjoying it, but that's not why I took it. That's what the Gemara means. That's why the main word is komachavim. It can't be that we thought you don't make a bracha because we thought that you're not benefiting it. And a kamash malon is, no, you are benefiting it. If you're benefiting it from it, then obviously you make a bracha. No! I always knew that you're benefiting from it. But I still thought you don't make a bracha. Why? Because that's not the purpose and not the reason why you took this food in the first place. The intention was for refuah. Therefore, I might have thought, very important principle, that when you take food for medicinal purposes, even if you benefit from it, you don't make a bracha. Komash malon, I'm being taught that what? That I do, providing that you benefit. So l'chayra, we've just arrived at an enormous principle, that if you take it for a fool and you don't benefit from it, you don't enjoy it, then what? In other words, the Gemara didn't turn around and say your Havamin was silly. Mara just says, as long as you benefit, you make a bracha. If you don't, you don't make a bracha, even though you're eating. So it's a good quiz question. How can it be that you eat food, normal food, and you don't make a bracha? So one case was, I was saying before, if it damages you, here it's the opposite. Not only does it not damage you, it actually helps you. It heals you. Still don't make a bracha. Unless you benefit from it.
So my wife tells me to eat my spinach because it's good for me.
My brother sent me an email recently. I got asked the following shaila. He says, somebody's wife took a meaty knife, cut onions on a milky chopping board, and served it in milky plates. And he wants to know what to do with the plates, the knife, the onions, and the wife.
In that order?
In that order. I'll call Ponivaifan. So that's what the Gemara is really teaching us over here, that you do not make a bracha on refuah except if you happen to benefit from it, which is very, very, very negeh halacha l'maisa, especially when it comes to children. A lot of children's medication is deliberately made to be very tasty, otherwise they won't swallow it, so they have to make a bracha. But on adult medication, I'm not talking about, by the way, just a pill that you swallow without even eating it. We're not discussing that. Even if it would be a liquid medicine that has zero taste or foul taste, and I enjoy it, you don't like a broccoli. We'd have strawberry-flavored ibuprofen for kids, that's different. Murofen.
If I take a pill with a flavored seltzer, I don't necessarily enjoy.
Right, so we'll get to that.
So you do make a bracha.
You're enjoying it.
I won't enjoy the gym.
So we'll see. There's a difference between water and other liquids. So we'll go slowly.
You do that.
You make it to make a broth.
On what? Only if it's good taste. But if it's a regular plain taste, or no taste, or foul taste, you're not making broth. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Now, Tuesday, I'm not going to be in town. I've been waiting for a couple of days now. So the next show has to be on Thursday. Tomorrow I'm not here either. On Wednesday I have a show in a different place that I have to go, so I can't really reschedule. So we have a few days now, but there's plenty to be getting on with. Number one, before you see anything, have a look at the top toasters, and then the second toasters, top two toasters. We've introduced the top toasters. I just want to learn with you the top line of toasters, because there's a tricky lotion, but the concept is not tricky at all. Remember, the Braisa says, don't gargle the shemen. Rather, what should you do? You should mix it with anigroin and swallow it. And remember we said, why do I need to do both? I can just swallow it. So Tosa says, Pirish Rashi lahash hoisai, to gargle it. But in time, in Cain, lifloig velisni bedido, tricky expression. Let us differentiate bedido in this case itself. Meaning, let's keep to plain shemen, without getting involved in anigroin, and I can still make the differentiation. What can I say? If you gargle it, you're in trouble. And if you swallow it, you're okay. Why must I mention anigroin? My iria, why do you have to talk about al yedei anigroin? Afilu be'en, even if it would be plain without anigroin, it would also be shari leboiloi. It would be mutter to swallow la'alta immediately. That's Rashi's, that's Tosis Kasha. So you'll see the rest of the Tosis. I just want to learn that first line because the first line is tricky. Now, Be'ez Hashem next time, which will be on Thursday, where we'll start off Be'ez Hashem with the Tosis number one, and then Tosis number two. Tosis number two is fairly straightforward. One and two. Top two Tosis. Okay, then on the sheet over here, there's two parts. There's the Yayin part and the Shemen part. So from 1 to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 is the Yayin part. And then 5, there's a mistake on the sheet, it shouldn't say 7, it's really 6. That's the Shemen part. Now again, I just want to briefly introduce it so you know what we're dealing with. If you remember, the Gemara said, why do you make a special bracha on wine? So the Gemara says, because it's soid, fills you up. So the Gemara asks the question, well, why don't you make Birkas Hamazon on Yayin then? Birkas Shalosh. Birkas Shalosh means Birkas Hamazon. And so the Gemara discussed why we actually don't make that bracha. So the Rishonim discuss a very important shayla, which is Halacha L'Maisa. If you would bench Birkas Hamazon on Yayin, does that help? B'dyevet. Chatzchila, the Gemara says that we don't. But b'dieved, would it help or would it not help? That's discussion number one on the sheets, Rabbeinu Yoina. And then you'll see La Halacha, number two, three, and four, Shulchan Aruch and the Bi'ah Halacha, written by the Chofetz Chaim, will discuss that. That's point number one. Point number two is the Rambam, number five on the sheets, says, if you look in the bold words, Im Shosa Hashem in Levadoi, what does he do? Mavarich Olav Shehakol, which is extremely puzzling because we learned in our Gemara, the way Rashi explained, that Shemen is damaging and you won't make a bracha at all. Not that you don't say Bari Prihoi, you don't make a bracha at all. So why is Rashi over here saying, why is the Rambam saying over here that you make Shehakol? That's the question of the Kesef Mishnah on the last Maromokim on the sheets. There's plenty to be getting on with. So again, top two toises him. We can see all the Maromokimos, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then Be'ez Hashem will continue the next Gemara, which is Kemach and Chitim.